At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. Hope things are well with you wherever you are today. It's a new work week. It's also the beginning of the NCAA-mandated dead period for football recruiting, which means no in-person contact on or off campus. That'll run through July 31st. They can still communicate, you know, by text, by phone, but it's a little different dynamic now. So things will kind of wind down a little bit as people begin to kind of shift into football mode. And there's going to be some decisions announced, one tonight and then some in the month of July that are of interest to Mississippi State. But, yeah, a successful weekend when it came to the batting average of getting visitors on campus and getting them to commit. I've got some thoughts about some of the guys that we committed, some very positive and some not so positive, but we'll talk about that. We'll call it as we see it. But, yeah, here we are. And it's this is one of those days I've been looking forward to for a long time. College World Series is over. We'll talk a little bit about that and kind of what I think that means kind of going forward. And now official visits are over. You know, we won't really have guys back on campus again until we play Arizona State. So that's kind of how it works. But, yeah, so time for us to kind of put a pin in some of this and then kind of look forward to what is to come. We're going to talk a little bit about Arizona State today as well. You do a little bit of an opponent preview, and we'll revisit some of the stuff when we get back into camp. But the next few weeks, my hope is, you notice the show has been coming a little bit earlier. It would have been earlier today, but I had to chase some other things. I had to clean up around here a little bit too, you know. Try to be domesticated. I can't be a wild animal all the time, though I'd like to be. But nevertheless, trying to get you shows a little bit earlier in the day because we just don't have as much going on. Baseball portal beginning to kind of wind down. I still expect us to take 4, maybe 5 more players. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show too. But yeah, things are going to calm down a little bit. But the content creation over at jeanspage.com will not. We will continue to give you guys about 10 stories a day, sometimes plus. We had 20 yesterday. Of course, the bulk of those coming from our official visitors. We had 19 visitors on campus. We've interviewed 17 of the 19 so far. One of them, Jacoby Green, is a guy that just doesn't do much media. We do our best, but we tried, begged, pleaded. Doesn't always work out, but it is what it is. But he is committed to Mississippi State too. So, you know, tweeted out some pictures about what a good vibe and good time he had when he went to Starkville. So you always feel good about that aspect of it. But here we are on a Monday. And again, the stress level and anxiety of everything that's kind of gone on for some time now has kind of subsided a little bit. And maybe you can hear it in my voice. But I slept really well last night. I hope you guys did as well. Woke up early, too. Went right to work. Posted some bones. Began to work on kind of a recap of the weekend. We're going to recap the weekend here, too. And I'll expand on some things on the show that maybe we didn't in the article. So, good times for sure. And I tell you what, it's been busy over at True West Float Spa of Starkville. We've had a tremendous run for going on about 7 weeks now. really, really busy. And you should come float too. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife. She can answer any questions you may have. If you're a person that maybe suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, we may be able to help you a little bit. We've helped many others. You can visit truerest.com and get more information there if you such desire. Maybe you just need a break. I think you owe it to yourself to take a bit of a break. And again, come float with us. You'll be glad you did, for sure. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love them. We've loved them for a long time. And I love going in there during the summertime. I do. And, you know, Ian, my youngest son, works there. He comes and gets my German Shepherd sometimes, Maverick, and they take a field trip to Bulldog. And he gets to sit out on the patio. Does Maverick? Well, Ian's with him. And have a burger. I think it's a cool thing. And it's something that Maverick looks forward to. And then every time Ian leaves, he's kind of whiny for a little bit. But, I love Starkville in the summertime. And I love being able to go to Bulldog Burger Company and be able to enjoy my own favorites. You should find your favorites at Bulldog Burger Company. The menu is just so incredibly extensive. It's not just burgers, but that's why you go there. Because they have the best restaurant quality hamburgers in the state. It's true. I like the Pimentology add bacon. Kind of been on a bacon kick here for a while, too. You know, matter of fact, I had a breakfast biscuit this morning with bacon. You know, sometimes it's just kind of how it is. We need all the protein we can get, most of us. You can get a healthy dose of protein over at Bulldog Burger Company. And I love the service, the atmosphere. I love everything about it. I love the spring rolls as part of my beauty care regimen. You should add that to yours, too. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that right home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Be sure and check it out when you're in town or on the way to town. Bulldog Burger Company, there to help and service you. Guys, I don't just eat for existence. I eat for enjoyment. And I enjoy eating at Bulldog Burger Company. And I have so much respect for John Bean and the entire Eat With Us group because they have served us so many years. Number one, with so much credibility. It means so much to me that we have such a great company that that feeds us, man. It's true. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look back at the weekend it was. And again, the last weekend of official visits for some time. State had a midweek visitor last week, too. We haven't been able to catch up with him. It's Cossie Barnes out of Greensboro, North Carolina. Not exactly sure what he's going to do, but very long-rangey corner. Hopefully we can catch up with him, get you guys some comments. But, kind of going back, to the beginning of this process, it all started for us that weekend of May 29th. We had eight visitors. Of those eight visitors, five of them have made decisions. Now, one of them, Javen Holmes, had committed to Louisiana Lafayette. He is now decommitted and plans to announce on July 4th and will announce between Houston, Rice, and Mississippi State. I don't know that he has a committable offer come that time. We'll see. Terrence Pinnock, a linebacker out of South Gwinnett High School in Georgia, is yet to announce his decision. Now, TJ Umenyora has committed to Michigan State. Jordan Crutchfield to Kentucky, and of course Cameron Wilson to Syracuse. And he visited state even though he was committed to Syracuse. But nevertheless, Chris Carbon, edge out of Hillgrove High School, will announce in the coming days between Georgia Tech and Mississippi State. I feel like it's probably going to be Georgia Tech. But from that weekend, State gets Antavius Watts and Caleb Morris, and those guys committed as part of that visit. So batting average of that weekend, maybe not so great, 2-for-8 so far. But again, three others that have yet to announce a decision. Now, looking back to the weekend, the 13th, batting average got a lot better for Mississippi State. 16 visitors, and let's just kind of run through here, as you had some guys that were already committed too. Defensive end Marshall Smith really wanted to commit to Mississippi State, ultimately visited Memphis, kind of says it was his decision. You know how that works. Ends up committing to Memphis this weekend. And then State picks up Maurice Jones Jr., Dylan Steen, Jaden Ross, Luke Hutchinson, of course, commits on Friday. Jax Pope commits on Saturday. Colby Barrett was already committed to State. Cameron Brown committed back at Junior Day. Garrett Withington has not made a decision yet. Charles Humphrey, Caden Capehart, Bulldog commitments. Darrell Rivers not announced his decision. Dalton Toothman, offensive lineman from Van Cleve, will announce his decision tonight, 6:30. Cottrell Webb hasn't made a decision. He visited Florida State this past weekend. We'll see what happens there. And then Kevin Conciaro out of Houston County will announce on July 11th. And then Danny Beal, not exactly sure what his intentions are at this point. But you go back and do the math here. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the 16 visitors from that 13th weekend have committed to Mississippi State. With at least one more pending, and we should find that out tonight. Now, this past weekend, big weekend, 19 visitors in, and many of those came in that did not have a commitment made. There was one that did that ultimately flipped. So let's just kind of run it back here. As Austin Williams used to say, we just got to shake back. All right, T.J. White will announce on July the 1st. He has a final four of Auburn, Florida State, Tennessee, and Mississippi State. Now, we believe it's down to Tennessee and Mississippi State. Very smart planning on the behalf of the Mississippi State staff. They had Jalen Smith host TJ. Now, many of you are saying, Steve, who's Jalen Smith? Well, Jalen Smith is the linebacker from Tennessee that transferred to Mississippi State back in January. So T.J. White got some valuable insight. I had a chance to interview T.J. yesterday, and he spoke that, hey, I got some insight on both sides of this thing. And that's a good thing, too. The last visit that he makes before the announcement, and he gets to speak to a current Mississippi State linebacker who used to be a linebacker at Tennessee. And so I think that's significant. And also T.J.'s grandfather made the trip with him and his parents. TJ's grandfather, a Mississippi State alum. I do believe this thing is going to go back and forth between now and decision day. Tennessee was believed to be the early leader in his recruitment. We do believe that he's got at least one teammate heading to Tennessee on the first. And you got to wonder if we're not trying to kind of, you know, handle a package deal here. You know, we'll see. But I believe Mississippi State is very much in this thing with TJ. I do think it is a Mississippi State-Tennessee battle as we push into the final week ahead of his announcement. Now, Evan Goodwin is a guy that we have felt great about throughout this process. And then all of a sudden, you get into the official visits and he gets a little bit confused. He is a hunting and fishing guy. Was so proud the other day to post on Twitter that he had bought his own fishing boat. That sounds like a Mississippi State guy. This is a young man that grew up on a farm in rural Arkansas, knows how to drive a tractor. There probably has been fewer players that fit Mississippi State better than Evan Goodwin. I believe, as we prepare for him to kind of work through this process, that Mississippi State probably competing with SMU. That's how I feel today. And we'll see how things go. Now, he had a Final Four, of course, of Missouri, Oklahoma State, SMU, and Mississippi State. Now, if you know anything about Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Starkville, Mississippi, it's nothing like Como and certainly nothing like Dallas. Completely different. Now, SMU, obviously, kind of a ritzy place, it is. Great economy there. They also have some rural aspects of things. But no real comparison between SMU and MSU other than the lettering, right? Very, very different. I think Evan fits at Mississippi State, but it doesn't matter what I think. He's got to figure that out for himself. And you got to wonder sometimes, too. There's a lot of guys out there. I mean, Ace Reese did this, right? Ace Reese from Canton, Texas, decided, hey, I want to go to the big city, went to Houston, and didn't like it. There's a lot of guys out there that want to experience something for the sake of experience and convenience, and there's just so much going on. And there's some guys that just feel like they're, you know, fish out of water. So Evan will try to figure that thing out. We feel good, maybe on the verge of feeling really good, but maybe not great just now. Bryson Cooley, also visited this weekend, was at LSU last weekend, hasn't made a decision. Not exactly sure when that's going to transpire, but you know, the job that Phil Loadholt is doing with the offensive line is remarkable. Not just the work that he did in the spring portal, which was outstanding. You know, guys, I'm going to tell you, sure, as I'm sitting here, when I went out there for the first spring practice and I saw the height and length of many of our offensive linemen, I was very, very concerned. You know, some people say that I'm a little dramatic at times. There's a part of me, I said, we might as well go ahead and start firing up a hot board if this is what we're going to have to play with on the offensive line. Because no matter how much better we could be on defense and no matter how good we can be at the skill positions, we're not going to be able to block anybody with these guys. All due respect. Phil Loadholt clearly recognized that issue as well, went to work in the portal, had a great spring portal class, and now is currently having a great high school recruiting class within his position group. Bryson Cooley, I think, would be a nice mix. And again, I'm told we're going to take 7 high school linemen. We'll see how it goes. First real big commitment of the weekend was Zion Cotton. We've talked about him extensively on the show. I like him as a flex tight end. He can play some X in some situations that you can kind of dial up a matchup as advantageous to the offense. I don't think that he is going to be a true attached tight end. He could be, but I think you're going to want him out in a pass pattern. You know, and again, it's probably going to take a little while to kind of learn technically how to block, how to learn hand placement and things like that, leverage, pad level. It's going to take a little while. But I think he is a guy, too, because of his length, that he is a matchup that is very favorable for Mississippi State. He's going to be faster than a lot of linebackers, be bigger than a lot of safeties. And so I think he is a guy, when you flex him out there, you can be in a scenario where he is going to have the physical advantage. And Jeff Lebby's a guy who can exploit that. Brady McWhorter, of course, was here. This time he didn't have to pay his own way. A kid's been here, feels like, all the time. He was here every weekend in the month of June. Dating back really to, I want to say he was here 5 weekends in a row. I think that's right. And as I've said on the show before, it says a lot about his leadership. And he said he joked with the coaches he's going to be homesick. He's not going to be able to come back until we play Arizona State. I'm sure the coaches are going to miss having him around too. Iverson McCoy was back on campus. He, of course, visited Ole Miss last weekend at Mississippi State. Plans to announce somewhere around July 15th between State and Ole Miss. Today, I feel like it's State. I may feel differently come 2 weeks from now. But I feel like it's State, and I think that's always kind of been in his heart. He was here with his team for the 7-on-7. And at that time, Jaden Hill was going to go visit Arkansas, and Iverson's telling me, oh, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. Doesn't sound like a guy that's going to Ole Miss. I mean, you know, a lot can happen between now and signing day. But I think ultimately he is going to commit back. I feel that way today. Jaden Creation, a guy that we saw last summer, and he was outstanding. Now, he's picked up several offers since then. And to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed that we let Ole Miss beat us to the punch on the offer. Because we knew about him. We'd worked him out in camp. I thought we were a little bit tardy. It doesn't work against us in that respect. He's here, and he will be a spring grad. So around this time next year, you know, he'll be on campus. But like his game, and if you get out and have a chance to see him play this year, I think he is a guy that when you watch Canton High School get on the field, he's probably the guy your eyes are going to gravitate to first. I think it's a good commitment. I do. Zion Crumpton recently committed to South Florida. I wondered if he would take the visit. You know, we worried a little bit about Zion and TJ. We didn't have any problem. We had no shows. But Zion Crumpton comes in. This is a guy that's got over 24 offers, 5 from the SEC, 6'1", 165 pounds, probably needs to be updated. He looks a little beefier since then. But this is a good get. This is a highly recruited guy who just committed to another program the weekend of June 13th. Gets back from that South Florida visit. And he also visited North Carolina, too, and Bill Belichick. You know, so it's not like this is a guy that was just kind of sitting at home waiting for somebody to extend an invitation to him. It's a good get. Jacoby Green, we mentioned him, been committed to us for a long time now. And committed back during the junior day thing. And we've survived. You know, some other teams kind of making a run at him. You know, we'll see how things go between now and December. But you got to feel good that you've made it through the official visit portion of his recruitment and that he remains committed to Mississippi State. 6'3", 335-pound offensive guard. And this is a guy he is a wide back pile driver. I mean, this is a guy here, you talk about running behind people. This is a guy here that can clear a path for you, for sure. Jaden Taylor, of course, one of the first commitments in the class. You know, he committed shortly after State offered him last year during football season. And Mississippi State offered JT right before Camario was supposed to visit Georgia. Do you remember that? That's good recruiting if you're Jeff Lebby. Go ahead and put that on the family's mind, right? It's not, well, there's the possibility. Well, here's the offer. Shows me that Jeff Lebby's got some sense. If we talk about the Jalen Smith thing, hosting T.J. White, that was smart too. While Camario is contemplating taking a visit to Georgia, you extend an offer to the younger brother, who is a great player in his own right. We were going to offer JT anyway. But I think the timing of that offer was very significant and shows that Jeff Lebby knows exactly what he's doing. Leon Knoll, offensive lineman. I think he's a guy that may be able to handle right tackle. You know, he's around 260 right now. Long, leaner guy. Has the tackle body type. And you look up there and you say he's not quite 6'5". You know, well, you know, probably can handle right tackle. But a pretty good film. Got to watch Houston with him a little bit too. Baylor, some. You know, we'll see. We mentioned Jaden Hill a little bit earlier. Jaden, of course, you know, back on campus. And when he committed, we were kind of like, yeah, really? Yeah. And he's really not giving us any reason to worry after this visit. He told us today that he's locked in with the Bulldogs. Now he is focused all of his energy on defending a state championship at Tupelo High School. Even if you're not a big fan of high school football, maybe you don't have a rooting interest other than Mississippi State, let me make a recommendation to you. If you're part of the condo group, right, that you come, you got a place to stay, or maybe you come on Friday nights when Mississippi State plays a football game on Saturday, let me encourage you to do this. On Friday night, rather than just kind of sitting around a hotel room or whatever, let me encourage you to run over to Tupelo and watch Tupelo play, specifically Jaden Hill. Bring some cowbells with you, all that good stuff. You know, I think you are going to be amazed at what he has done as a high school player. Of course, leads Tupelo to a state championship last year, 7A player of the year. I expect him to repeat at least in that aspect of it. But Jaden Hill is one of these players you don't see very often on the high school level. And I don't care who you are or where you're from. When you get a guy that physical and that strong getting kind of downhill on you, you know, it's difficult. It's going to be a little different on the college level. But you basically have an SEC back lining up in the backfield at Tupelo High School. And there's some kids out there that are going to try to tackle him that I don't even have a driver's license yet. And so you can imagine how that's going to work. You know, I think Jaden Hill could probably set some records this year for Tupelo High School. Outstanding player, outstanding young man.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, Who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A guy that we've used to kind of build a class around. All right, so Mario Johnson, and I feel like he and Iverson McCoy are probably in a either-or situation. I'm not sure how many more safeties we plan to take. I know we're going to take one more. I think it's going to be a scenario where, like, if Iverson chooses Ole Miss, then we'll probably take Tomario. But I think with Iverson's relationship to Jaden Hill, I expect him to return to the fold. But Tomario is a good player. Again, I don't know where he ends up. He hadn't played as much football as Iverson McCoy. But, you know, he's a guy that's closing in on making a decision. You know, will Mississippi State have room to take them both? I don't know about that. Could be, kind of depending on how the rest of the traffic clears. Adam Land, tight end out of Moseley High School in Lynn Haven, Florida, committed well in advance of his visit. We've kind of been expecting this, you know, for some time. You know, he played on the same high school team as Laquavian Jackson. We call him affectionately LoJack. Probably worth buying a T-shirt. Once, I'm telling you, a kid can play. But, you know, Coop has a good relationship with the staff out there at Moseley. Adam Land has been coming to campus now for a year. And it just kind of felt right. And Adam said, you know, being back on campus is a commitment. It was a different level of emotion. You know, it's relief more so than anticipation. I like these tight ends we've gotten. I really do. Land kind of talked about that too. Now you add Joseph Skipworth late last year. You flip him from Kansas. Now you've added Luke Hutchinson, Adam Land, Zayon Cotton. Makes a lot of sense. Davin Young is a guy that kind of hit the radar here late. He's from Theodore High School over in Alabama. Spoke with him on Thursday of last week. Knew that he would commit if given the opportunity. Wasn't sure we were going to push to take him. He has the body type, but he's one of these guys, too, that is very much a work in progress. He's very much a project, and that's not being critical of him. He's a guy that's just kind of gotten by on the high school level, being bigger and faster and stronger than the man across from him. So there's some raw materials to work with. But I think this is one of those guys you put in a developmental pipeline, you look up 2 years from now, and you're like, man, aren't you glad we took that kid? It's going to be up to him. Kicker Hayden Chambers from Fort Payne, Alabama, found out over the weekend that Mississippi State had a full scholarship offer for him. Very significant to him. He says it'll be between Mississippi State and Auburn. I'm not sure what Auburn's offered. You know, is Auburn offering a partial? Are they offering a walk-on? I don't know what they're doing. But I know Mississippi State is offering him a full scholarship, and the kid was pretty jacked about that. And so, you know, we'll see. You know, Grant Higgins committed to LSU, no real surprise there. Baton Rouge kid. You know, there's a lot to work with there. But Kyle Ferry hosted Hayden Chambers. I like Kyle. Caleb Triplett, this is a guy I wasn't sure we'd take. And really, these last three commitments, only one of these guys I was pretty confident we would take. I was unsure on one. And the guy that I thought we were probably least likely to take was Caleb Triplett. And Caleb, 6'1", 220-pound Mike linebacker. My concern with him, and I think I shared this with you guys on Friday, is in today's spread offenses, you got to do more than be a tackle-to-tackle linebacker. You can't be a plugger anymore. And he, listen, when he gets downhill on you, it's pretty serious, truthfully. But what about the pursuit? You know, that's the thing that I need to see this year. And we probably need to make a trip down to the coast to go to D'Iberville and Ocean Springs and see these guys down on the coast that we maybe haven't seen as much. And typically we do that on home game weekends. You know your good friend and the host isn't opposed to traveling. I like to get out and go see these young men. I do. Get you guys picture. Just give you an idea of how they're progressing. Because the thing that I've learned about the statistics, and I've tracked this stuff for years, is they're not always accurate. But, yeah, it is what it is, you know. There are times that I've seen guys credited with 25, 30 sacks, and I think I have a different definition of what a sack is. You know, if it's a quarterback run, designed quarterback run, and you get him a foot behind the line of scrimmage, it's not a sack, it's just a TFL. You know, it's a different dynamic. But nevertheless, I digress. Terrell Johnson Jr., another guy that was a late addition to the official visit guest list, also commits. And he's a guy, too, had some things working, mainly from the G5. But 6'2", 180, this is a guy, again, that proves why going to camps are important. If he hadn't come to Mississippi State's prospect camp, he's probably not going to be a Bulldog. He was the best corner there. And that's one of those things, too. A lot of people get to be too good for camps, right? We talk about that. A lot of these seniors-to-be, not going to camp because they're taking official visits. But Terrell Johnson wanted to bet on himself, came to camp, competed, got an invite, got offered by Mississippi State on Saturday, committed on Sunday. Mike and Nickerson. And I wrote this earlier today. Of the guys that are kind of somewhat lightly recruited, he's the guy that excites me the most. You watch his tape, you can see there's some explosiveness with him. He also has some length. He has some burst. You know, he has to play both ways. He's played some outside backer. He's played edge. He's played tight end. He's played wide receiver. Done a little bit of everything. It's what you'd expect, right? SEC prospect, playing high school football in a smaller community, is rarely ever going to leave the field. I think Micah Nickerson is a guy that we will look back on and say, you know what, that was a very valuable addition. Maybe he didn't draw the headlines. But, guys, you know, Virginia just offered him. They were going to get him to visit this weekend. Well, we shut that down, you know. But I like Micah Nickerson. And listen, there's some fan angst and sometimes a little bit confusion here. Let me remind you, too, there were three guys last year that committed in June. And two of those three I was a little bit underwhelmed by. And those three guys get processed. One of them for academic reasons, but the other two guys just didn't perform. And I wasn't thrilled about them when we took them. And so I think one of the things that you've learned here is if a guy does not perform and does not progress as a senior, doesn't take care of business, that Jeff Lebby's willing to move on from him. And that's an important aspect of all of this, I think. You know, I think some, again, kind of pump the brakes a little bit. It's not signing day. It's not. But again, 19 visitors over the weekend, and kind of counting them down now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So 12 out of 19 now committed, 7 undeclared. So pretty good batting average. And again, as you see, you started out with May, last weekend in May, and you begin to kind of ramp things up. And the batting average got better the longer we went with this thing. And you got to figure, too, guys that are taking their last visit with your program, think a lot of your program. And there's some guys, too, that were scheduled to visit this weekend over the course of the last few months that ultimately didn't visit. They committed to other programs or maybe Mississippi State, moved in a different direction. Sometimes we do that, too. A lot of people think, well, they broke up with us. Doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes we ask for the promise ring back. But, again, Dalton Toothman announcing tonight at 6:30. We feel pretty good about where that thing sits. And then we'll get into the July 1st stuff as we get closer to it. But as it stands today, Mississippi State has had a very busy June. The class currently ranked 30th in the country. Now, a lot of that, too, is because of quantity more so than quality. And that's not me being disrespectful. But also, too, you get a ton of commitments. But you also have, you know, a handful of these guys that haven't been rated yet. And some of that's our fault. Like Maurice Jones Jr. Is a guy that's been a known commodity out of Dr. Phillips for a couple of years. It's not like he just popped up on the radar. And, he's got over a dozen offers, mostly from the G5. But you would think he'd have been rated by now. You know, Davin Young is a guy from the state of Alabama, mainly FCS offers. So I'm not going to fault anybody for that. Matter of fact, I had to build out his profile page last week to add him to the visit list. Micah Nickerson is a guy that's been around a little bit longer. And again, got some offers. Took visits to Tulane, took visits to Louisiana. So I think he may, some people kind of may consider him like a fringe SEC guy. I am perfectly okay with taking him without any question. But, we'll kind of see how things progress with some of these other guys. And we'll get out and go see them ourselves, and we'll talk about it here on the show. But, again, your class breakdown right now. And, again, once these guys are rated, maybe you move into the top 25. I don't know. But I don't expect to stay there because there's a lot of schools around us that will get some more commitments from some highly rated players or higher rated players and move up. But of your 23 commitments, eight of them are from the great state of Mississippi. That's interesting, right? Four from Florida, four from Georgia, three from Alabama, three from Tennessee, one from Texas. So state doing a good job in the Southeast there. Nobody from Louisiana this year. We had a couple commitments last year from the state of Louisiana. And I think we should always be over there, at least in the I-20 corridor. It's my personal opinion. But we're not done by any stretch of the imagination. Any stretch. But it's interesting. You got your quarterback. You got your running back. You got four receivers now. Not done there. Four offensive linemen, a couple tight ends. Actually three. And then three defensive linemen, a couple linebackers, and six defensive backs. So we'll see how it goes. But it's a thing. I see some of this stuff, too. Like I put a receiver commitment out there. And somebody says, well, hey, we need help on defense. Well, we signed an army of guys out of the portal on defense back in December and in May. And you start working through kind of what you have right now, right? So of the 23 commitments, it's pretty well split, right? You got 11 defensive commitments. You got 12 on offense. About to have 13. But it's not like we're ignoring it. We still got some work to do, but I think it's important for everybody to kind of see it for what it is. But, again, it's not signing day. I do expect some adjustments to be made along the way, based on continued evaluation of these prospects. I'm just going to ask you to trust your coaches a little bit. It's so interesting, like, so many people put so much value in rankings of kids that they've never seen. Yeah, and that's an interesting aspect of it, too, And again, there's always a segment of our fan base and every other one that no matter what we do, it's not enough. But again, I think some of these takes I wouldn't have taken because I think they would have been available later. There's a couple guys, I'm not going to name names, a couple guys that I would have waited on. I would have contended, hey, we like you a lot. I want to see your first four games and then maybe we make a decision then. We'll bring you back for a game day visit. I would have slow played it a little bit, but I'm not Jeff Lebby, you know. And Lebby's got a plan, and his plan may be different than mine. The only thing that I'm concerned about is winning. Just win ball games. And then recruiting kind of takes care of itself. And again, if we go out there and win 6-7 ball games this year, there's some recruiting windows that'll be open to us then that maybe aren't open now. Got to go win. Simple as that. And everybody likes wants to explain things. It's like, well, why is this happening? Guys, we went 2-10 last year. 2-10 with a first-time coach, right? We got to go out there and get some productivity on the field. Got to win some games. Simple as that. We have to go win some games. And then the winning and the recruiting will kind of go hand in hand. All right, it's time for our close with Blair, player of the day. You know, Blair could be the player of the day in his own right because Blair has made closing day and move-in day much easier for a lot of people. Blair Chandler owns and operates his own mortgage operation. He's part of the Priority One Bank Group, but the reality of it is Blair has been a closer wherever he's gone, and coffee's for closers. And with that in mind, you know Blair is well-caffeinated. His phone number is 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Be sure and check out the website, closeatblair.com. You'll be glad you did. Get his 24 years of knowledge and expertise working for you to make the dream of home ownership a reality. So many people have been turned down in the past, and it may have been because you weren't ready to buy a home, or perhaps you simply entrusted your services to the wrong loan officer. Give Blair an opportunity to serve you, whether it's a refi or a purchase. So you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, turn to Blair Chandler. Get that pre-qualification letter and let your real estate agent getting to work to get you in your new home. You got plenty of time to be in there for Christmas, and you know those are precious memories that you can make with your family and perhaps your forever home. Be sure and check it out today, closewithblair.com. Our player of the day is going to be Zion Cotton. I shared with you guys the story before. I went to go watch Winona and Grenada play. I didn't know what to expect from Grenada. Going to see Fat Forrester, who was once Fat Clark, TJ Lockhart, Tyler Lockhart play. And they all came over and greeted me after they got done with warm-ups, and I always appreciate that. It's not required, but it's very much appreciated. And my wife says, hey, should we get pictures of that kid too? Looked up, and it was Zion Cotton, who at the time was a sophomore. I was like, yeah, let's work on that. And watched him play and came away incredibly impressed with him. And he's got some Ole Miss influence in his life, but he hadn't really entertained a lot of that. And to be fair to Ole Miss, too, they haven't really chased him that much. But a lot of other schools did. And he's currently Mississippi State's highest-rated recruit, according to 247 Sports. Not quite a four-star, but he may be a guy that plays his way into it later in his process. I don't need that to feel good about him because I've seen him play. And, of course, he helped lead Grenada to a state championship last year, the first in school history. Kind of a cool thing. And I looked it up. I believe it was September the 1st, 2023, when I saw him play. I think that's right. And so it's basically been 2 years. And now he's a Bulldog. I think that's super cool. Our time for today's top 10 list brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. If you are a guitar player or you know and love a guitar player, you need to know Kalido Guitars. A Mississippi State owned and operated company out of Lake Jackson, Texas. They've got family here in Starkville. They've got degree here in Starkville. They got grandsons that were raised to cheer for the Bulldogs working at this guitar shop. And it's a true guitar shop, too. You know, a lot of places out there just kind of stock a bunch of stuff in a warehouse. You can go by the showroom and you can, you know, plug it and play. So next time you're in that area, maybe go by and check them out. If you don't feel like making the trip, or perhaps it's just inconvenient for you, you can shop online at KalidoGuitars.com, or you can call in and we'll give you a promo code because they're willing to give you some incentive to do business with them. So whether you're looking for a guitar of any variety, classic, classical, acoustic, electric, beginner, professional grade. You can find it all there. And along with guitar cases, gig bags, any accessories you need, all things guitar, you can find at Kalito Guitars. And again, I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. I encourage you to do the same. So rather than go, buy from some conglomerate out there, it's going to be, you never know where your money's going to go. You may get a quality instrument, but with working with Kalito Guitars, you get the quality instrument and you help Mississippi State at the same time. Promo code BSR, you know it well. That gets you a 10% discount off your purchase. And if that wasn't enough, you get free shipping and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. I wish more businesses did this, and I appreciate Kalito Guitars for leading the way in that regard. And I think you as Bulldog guitar players should reward them for their commitment to Mississippi State. It's a nice partnership for all of us. They need the business. We need to pair you up, you guitar players up with some people that will in turn help Mississippi State. I think it's a great way for us to do business. Be sure and check them out today, Kalito Guitars. All right, it's going to be hot. I tell people all the time, if anything ever drives me out of the greater Starkville area, it will be the summer months. And we're already towards the end of June, and it's been okay, but it really feels like, and according to Weatherman, it's going to be a rough stretch. We got some isolated thunderstorms coming to this area now. But, the one thing that I will say, it's been heat index, they say it's going to be over 100. But, our lows have been mid-70s. Our highs this week are going to be in the 90s. We got a lot of rain in our forecast, too. Pretty crazy. A lot of rain beginning on Thursday. But, isolated thunderstorms always tend to happen, but it's going to cool it off a little bit. But staying cool is a full-time job in Mississippi. I got in the car this morning before I turned my own music on. The local radio station was playing, and you might be in Mississippi, or if this happens, if you need to take a second shower after going to the mailbox, you might be from Mississippi. You're kind of stealing the old Jeff Foxworthy thing, and it's true. We've got a heat you can see and feel. Yeah, it's true. And, deodorant has to work overtime. It's nuts, man. There are some times I have to take two showers a day, and I'm glad to do it. You get up, you got to get ready and go to town or whatever. You got an appearance. You come back home, and just the day itself and walking out in that air dryer. It's like you walk out at Walmart, and it's like somebody's blowing a hair dryer in your face. That's how it feels. So take care of yourself, hydrate well, stay in the shade whenever possible. And for all of you guys out there and ladies that are working out in the elements, we appreciate your efforts and encourage you to take care of yourself. So we're going to try to stay cool, so we're going to do songs with cool in the title. And there's not a lot of Gen Z in this, just so you know. Number 10, one of my favorite bands of all time, and this is a bit of a deeper cut. But it's Queen's Cool Cat. It's true. Number 9, many of you, and there's going to be some songs on here that maybe you are unfamiliar with because you kind of experience these artists at their apex. Like many of you, and many of you were with me when we gathered at the dock and saw Vanilla Ice before he signed with SBK Records. It was an independent. They were outstanding. And so we had like a whole summer of Ice Ice Baby in and around the Jackson metro area before it broke nationwide. And many of you went out and bought the To the Extreme album. First rap song to ever go number one on the Billboard 100. Did you know that? True story. Well, after that, of course, Vanilla Ice, Robbie Van Winkle had to kind of figure out what they were going to do as an encore. And they did a movie. And he wrote the title track on the soundtrack, Cooler Than Ice, that featured Naomi Campbell. That's really her singing. You know, it's not somebody from CNC Music Factory. It's really Naomi Campbell. Probably better known for other things than her singing, but it's really her. All right, number eight, Gwen Stefani's Cool. And if you've never seen the video, I encourage you. It's almost like a little movie. That video, it's crazy too. It hit YouTube like 15 years ago. It has 199 million views. 199 million views. Maybe you can help us take it to 200 million. That is crazy, man. 199 million views of a video. Says a lot about the video, but of course we're talking the song Cool. Gwen Stefani's Cool. Number seven, I really like this band, and I think my daughter Audrey turned me on to them. I can't remember how. I was trying to think, was this part of Rock Band? And maybe it was, but she really liked it. It's a band called Echo Smith, and the song is Cool Kids. And it's really more about being at peace with yourself, right? Kind of accepting yourself as you are, where you are, and not as others would have you to be. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that too. You know, being an independent, I think all of that is important. To be your authentic self. That's one of the most important things in life. I quit living for other people a long time ago. You know, other than my family, right? I quit living for other people's approval a long time ago. And maybe you've noticed. And that's, I think it's so funny, too, that like, I have people sometimes, they think, well, these people say this. That didn't bother you? Why would it bother me? Why would it bother me? I'm a very fortunate person. You know, you're going to have some detractors when you have some measure of success. It's true. I mean, in order for a person's opinion to bother me, I'd have to value their opinion. Number six, it's a Little River Band. We've had the LRB on here before, and this is one of those great songs, too. It just kind of puts you in a good mood. I don't know if it's the harmonies or just everything else about it. It's just one of those songs, too, for me, throughout my life, has been one of these songs that it kind of reminds you that there's more to life than paying the mortgage and raising kids. We're talking Cool Change from Little River Band. Number five, and I didn't really agree with this song years ago, even though I thought Barbara Mandrell was beautiful. Because I think this was a little bit preemptive. Barbara says that she was country before country was cool. And to be honest with you, I don't know that it is. I don't know that it is. And there have been some classics that have come along, and I've been to the Grand Ole Opry and, you know, all that good stuff. But you may like it. I've never seen country as, like, cool, though. I think country's just kind of country, right? And I know some people, of course, they listen to country because it kind of exemplifies the values that they were raised in. You know, and a lot of talk about pickup trucks and girl, a lot of that. You know, a lot of it's changed. It's become more of a homogenized thing. But I was very fortunate to kind of grow up in a classic age of country music. You know, Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and George Jones. I mean, those are the legends, you know. And the Mandrell sisters were outstanding, too. Didn't have a variety show. You remember that? Number four, kind of sticking with it a little bit. It's Meridian, Mississippi's own Paul Davis. And I don't know that Paul Davis gets enough respect, even now. Paul Davis was a tremendous performer. And I remember hearing on the radio, I already liked the music, and I found out he was from Mississippi. And I'm like, you know what? This is inspiring. Guy from our state on the radio. Growing up, hearing all those great Paul Davis songs. But we're going to go with Cool Night to kind of match our theme today. On a cool night, let me hold you. It's great. Paul Davis is fabulous. That great hair. Come on, man. If you don't know Paul Davis, you're just not doing it right. All right, number three. Many of you, your first introduction to Morris Day and the Time was the movie Purple Rain. And around that time, they came out with Ice Cream Castles that, of course, had Jungle Love on it, right? And Fishnet, I think, was one of them. But a lot of people thought that like Morris Day and the Time were just kind of like part of the show. Well, they were, but it was bigger than Purple Rain. And we go back a few years, even before you guys found out how amazing Morris Day was and Jerome. Morris Day had a great track called Cool. And C-O-O-L. Ain't nobody bad like me. And it's a song with plenty of attitude. The video is kind of hokey, but the Time was a much bigger deal. They weren't just like the secondary act in Purple Rain. Number two, going back many years to my middle school days, I remember having this on cassette, and the lettering was blue. It was a white cassette with blue lettering, and it was New Edition. It had a big hit called Cool It Now. And of course, as you know, a lot of performers, including Bobby Brown and Ralph Tresvant and Michael Bivins and, you know, what became Belle Biv DeVoe, and then, of course, eventually Johnny Gill was part of the operation there. But New Edition, and I don't know, how do you go back to, is, you know, If It Isn't Love and Can You Stand the Rain? I mean, there are just so many incredible songs. I don't know if we've done a New Edition list, and if we hadn't, we should. But this is a song that kind of started it all. I think this was the first one. I know that Candy Girl was around the same time, and maybe Candy Girl came first. But Cool It Now was like a one that kind of made it huge. But number one, anytime we can work in Led Zeppelin, we should. Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin had that great solo album called Everything Zen, or Zen and Now. I got my Bush and my Zen stuff figured up here. But Robert Plant's Tall, Cool One, it's a great song. Great, great song. If you don't know it, you should. We've talked about it on the show before. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on X. Roy Samanthi, the keeper of the list. Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Be sure and let us know. And appreciate your suggestions and contributions. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. And why do we love them, kids? Because they have what we want. We want more Mississippi State merchandise. We want more clothing. We want more gifts. We want everything we need to detail out our fan cave, and we can find it at Campus Bookmart. Go by and check them out next time you're in town. The backside of campus there. Just turn off 182 at the Trooper Station and follow it on around. Just to the left-hand side, right before you get to campus, there's Campus Bookmart. So you can purchase all your wares if you want to. Put on your new shirt. You probably need a new polo or perhaps a new t-shirt, a new cap. You can find it all at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town and perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, then order online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Let's take a look at Arizona State. I was there. As the game, the score is not indicative of how poorly we played in this game. I think we all know that. They opened up the year with that 48-7 win over Wyoming, and we're like, yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, Scapo, of course, got after us a little bit that night. It was a wild night. Of course, the game, in many respects, kind of turned and got away from us, you know, with a kind of rather auspicious fumble. But, you know, they go down. Sam Levitt rushes for 17 yards. Kelly Jones loses containment to the outside. And Levitt, who is getting some Heisman buzz this year, beat us kind of on his with his legs. He didn't have a great night throwing the football, but he didn't need to. They get up 7-0. Then the next thing you know, we don't do much. They get a field goal, make it 10-0, and it really felt like we were in trouble. But we respond with a scoring drive. Ferry with a 32-yard attempt that sails in, and it's a 10-3 ball game. They get another field goal, and it's 13-3. And you think, okay, we just need to go put some points on the board. Blake Shapen makes a bad decision, rolling to his left, just kind of tries to throw the football away rather than eat it. It's a fumble. They return it for a touchdown. The extra point is good. It is 20-3. They get a ball back, drive down the field. It is 27-3 at the break, and let's be honest, this game, for all intents and purposes, was over. In the third quarter, they get another field goal to make it 30-3, and then we make it a 30-10 game, and then in the fourth quarter, we get a little hot here, kind of make it a little more respectable, I guess. Touchdown pass to Devin Booth. Extra point is good. Maybe it wasn't good. Yeah, maybe we went for – I don't remember what we did here. But it's 30-16. We hit Kevin Coleman on that little dig route, and he turned and outran everybody to the end zone. And extra points good, made it 30-23. But then, you know, from there, they just kind of ran the thing down, and they were in position to score again. But we got smoked, man. We did. And we didn't know how good Arizona State was going to be at the time. But it was a game we absolutely had to win. We didn't win. They get they beat Texas State the next week, 31-28. They lose to Texas Tech. They beat Kansas, and that's a quality win there. They get Utah. They lose at Cincinnati, 24-14. They beat Oklahoma State, doubled those guys up, 42-21, in Stillwater. They won a wild one against Central Florida, 35-31. They win at Kansas State, and the Wildcats were ranked at the time in the top 20, 24-14. They get by BYU, 28-23. Win the rivalry game against Arizona, 49-7. Get Iowa State, who was 16th at the time, 45-19. And then that's the Big 12 championship game. They win the Big 12 last year. Not the league that it once was, but nevertheless, Big 12. They play Texas in the playoffs and ends up going to double overtime. Pretty wild game there. They nearly beat Texas, of course. A lot of people expected Texas just to kind of run away with everything. But Arizona State proved to be a very good team. Cam Scapo ends up getting some votes for the Heisman. You know, a lot of people thought it was just kind of a byproduct of us having a bad defense, and we didn't know how bad we were going to be at that time. But Scabbo made us look pretty rough. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. But you know, let's look ahead to this year, kind of look at the schedule, and then we'll kind of look at some other notes about them. And again, Sam Levitt's a guy you're going to have to be really mindful of. You know, this is a guy that can make some plays. And so we're going to have to do our part to kind of make sure that they don't get away from us. No real challenge for them in week one as they will take on Northern Arizona. There's nothing you can really tell from playing that game. And they travel to Mississippi State. The next week, they host Texas State. They're at Baylor. Host TCU at Utah. Host Texas Tech. Host Houston. Travel to Iowa State. Home against West Virginia at Colorado, and then a rivalry game to finish it up. So no BYU this year. That may be a good thing. And there's some people out there projecting Arizona State to win the Big 12 again this year. I don't know if it's quite that cut and dry, but we'll see. But when you look at this thing, you don't look at the schedule and start counting losses. There's a lot of toss-up games on the schedule. But there's nobody you look at and say, you know what, that's a sure loss. And that's a good thing if you're Kenny Dillingham and the staff there. Pretty safe to say that, you know, they are going to be, you know, a team that's going to be right back in the mix bowl-wise. They're going to have a good secondary, which is something we have to kind of consider too, you know, as a team that wants to really throw the football around some. They had a handful of guys last year, especially on that defensive front, that kind of gave us some trouble. But, you know, again, you go back and you think about Sam Levitt last year. 24 touchdowns against just 6 picks, 221 yards a game. And that featured a very robust running game, so there wasn't a lot of pressure put on him. The expectations would be a lot higher this year, but he threw for nearly 2,900 yards last year. That's important to understand. And he's also a guy, too, that can beat you with his legs. He ran 110 times last year. So about 10 times a game, enough to keep you honest, ran for 5 touchdowns. So they like that aspect of it, for sure, to have the dual threat quarterback. And you got to wonder, too, when you got Cam Scapo that ran for 1,711 yards last year and 21 touchdowns, and he's a guy that just about always fell forward. He only had 24 lost yards on the year last year. And considering that he carried it 293 times, that's impressive. Absolutely impressive. But he's gone, as you guys are well aware by now. And one of the guys that they brought in to replace him was Kanye Udo out of Army. That'll be interesting to kind of see how that works. Kyson Brown was the change of pace guy last year. And so Brown, 73 carries in 14 games last year, just 351 yards. But they expect him to be more of a threat this year. And it's going to be kind of a 1-2 punch. So Kyson Brown will be part of it. But Udo is probably going to be the primary back. At least that's what you think, right? He's a guy that ran for over 1,100 yards at Army. Now, granted, the system itself lends itself to running backs. And they don't throw it around on much at all. But it's going to be an interesting dynamic, for sure. I think there's a lot of question about that. They're going to try to do a lot of what they did last year. They just don't have the same personnel they did last year. But I think about this Sam Levitt thing. The reality of it is more is going to be asked of him this year. Mississippi State's got to make him uncomfortable. He kind of did what he wanted to last year. And again, it wasn't a great game passing-wise for him last year. We did some things to kind of make him uncomfortable. But the reality of it is there was so much separation in the game, he didn't have to make a lot of high-leverage throws because they were able to get separation early on. And as a result of that, they just kind of ran the football. They do some play-action stuff off of it, but the reality of it is there wasn't a need for him to go out there and throw the football all over the yard. And kind of looking back at those notes from that game, and again, it's been a long time ago. It really has been. But individual numbers, he was 10 of 20 last year, only threw for 69 yards. And one of our few sacks on the year came against him. But when you can run it for 364 yards, why would you ever throw it? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And so we were powerless to stop the run, and so we just didn't stress Levitt. And that's one of the games that – one of the only – if not the only game he won, just throwing around 50%. And so, again, more will be expected of him. And we have to make him uncomfortable. We got to dial up some exotics. But you don't get better by losing a Heisman finalist. At least not in your running game. But they're not going to be able, I don't think, going to have the ability to kind of move the pile like they did last year. So I think they're going to have to throw it a little bit more. I don't think there's any question about that. But he's going to have to throw the football. And hopefully, if he throws it some, we can catch some too. This is a game too. The first night, the home opener with the LED lights, the atmosphere is going to be electric. And listen, I get it. There's not a ton of hype right now around the football program. But you and I both know, as we get a little bit closer to it, you can't wait. You're going to be so ready to be back in Davis-Wade. You're going to be part of it to see the lights and all that kind of stuff. But, it's going to be interesting, too, if we can go out there and just kind of play clean against these guys. They didn't do a great job rushing the passer last year. They had a couple of plays against us, obviously. But this is a defensive group from Arizona State that will be really good in the back half, really the back seven. How good will they be up front? That's going to be the real issue. They got some transfer guys that have come in. They got some guys that are back, the rotation guys that will be looking to taking you know, a big step. But this is a very, very good secondary. And so we're going to have to put them in on island at times and kind of force them to make some plays. And again, as we get a little bit closer, we'll talk more about that. But this is a – I think it's the most important game on the schedule. I know a lot of our folks said Ole Miss is the most important game. You know, if my honest belief is if Mississippi State is going to go bowling, we're going to have to win all four of these non-conference games. That's how I feel today. Now, week to week, I may feel differently. But as of now, you got to go win this game. You got to go on the road, and you got to go beat Southern Miss, a team that's going to be jacked to play. They have an SEC team in their backyard, and then you got to come home and play the returning Big 12 champion. And then things kind of ease up a little bit. You know, you got Alcorn and Northern Illinois. But we got to get out of the gate. And there were times last year, you know, if you're Coleman Hutzler and you're this defensive staff, this is a game that you got exposed. This is the game plan that everybody else just kind of patterned. And it's not that they wouldn't have found it anyway. But when you allow a team to run for 364 yards and one guy to go for 262, and they never had a negative play, it's pretty crazy. Averaged 8 yards a carry. It's pretty crazy when you look at it in that respect. I mean, it truly is. It was kind of a coming out party for Cam Scabo, but it was basically an opportunity for them to expose the Mississippi State defense for kind of where we were deficient. And so I don't think you got to line anything up. You don't have to have some big speech, you know. Looking at Shapen's numbers last year, 18 of 28 for 268 yards and two touchdowns. One of those, of course, the touchdown to Coleman that went 80. You back that out there, you got 17 other completions for 188 yards, you know. Yeah, we'll see. But don't do for a couple touchdowns and had that big fumble. And that's the thing you got to ask yourself. What happens if State, you know, scores on that drive or just a chance to punt? Yeah, maybe it's a different dynamic, at least for a while. But I think with that running game and our apparent weakness up front, it was just a matter of time. You know, and they took a knee deep in Mississippi State territory to put that game away. And Shapen sacked four times in that game too. So, you know, we're going to have to earn it. This is a big game for us. It's a big game for them. And, again, this is a season where they feel like, hey, you know, last year nobody expected much from us and we made the playoff. We got a lot of players back. We did well in the portal again. And so we feel like, hey, we've got a chance to go back and maybe compete for a playoff spot again. We're going to get their full attention, especially with them playing Northern Arizona the week before. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse because it's the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Me and my family have stayed there. We had a bit of a staycation. I mean, the family's getting bigger than the house, man. Maybe that's the case for you, too. Rather than go get 5-6 hotel rooms and be scattered all over the Golden Triangle, let's get everybody under one roof because it's not just the meals where memories are made. Some days it's just being together. What a great opportunity for you to go stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. Ball game weekends, maybe it's a midweek getaway. Maybe you're not going to take the trip to Disney or to the Redneck Riviera this year. And you're just thinking, hey, wouldn't it be great to get all the cousins together, all the sisters, the husbands, everybody together, mom and dad, and be under one roof, play some board games, watch some movies, eat some cinnamon rolls, maybe take advantage of that full-service kitchen, maybe cook some meals together. There's the wet bar for after the kids go to bed. There's the back porch area, the fire pit area. So many great things that keep you kind of coming back. You only get so many days in life. You need to make them count. And the days that I spend at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse with my children and grandchildren are days that I'll always remember. And so I encourage you to make those memories with your own friends or family. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will pop up. You can peruse through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. Also, some booking options pop up too, Airbnb, VRBO. You can book through them, or you can save some money by booking through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10, that's BSR, the number 10, BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. A discount off the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. How much fun would that be? I have to drag all that stuff to campus. Give yourself a bit of a break and take it at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, LSU wins an NFL championship. I'm not happy about that. I do think they're probably the most deserving team. I want to talk a little bit about that crazy ejection in the first inning. Number one, we do not need umpires in Omaha that are so thin-skinned. Now, to be fair, I don't know everything that was said. Now, I think the coach's explanation is very reasonable. Said he couldn't hear him. He walks out and says, what's the warning for? And he says, arguing balls and strikes. He held up three fingers. He goes, yeah, because you missed three pitches. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know that that's enough to warrant an ejection. Maybe you walk over there and you say, coach, that's enough. And then things went from bad to worse. First base coach gets ejected. And, of course, the third base umpire, which I assume was the crew chief, comes down to get in between the home plate umpire and the coach. In the middle of doing that, he trips over the home plate umpire's foot, and everybody laughed. And he gets up and he signals the two fingers and says, bumping the umpire. The bump was initiated by the umpire. The NCAA has got to step in here and say, you know what, we're going to remove this suspension for next year. Because as it stands right now, it's a two-game suspension opening the year next year for Coastal Carolina. No matter who they play, no matter what the circumstances are, I don't think that suspension should stand. They came back, made a bit of a game of it, but the LSU wins their eighth national championship. And every time they do, to me, they just get farther away from us. That is the measuring stick of Mississippi State baseball. It used to be the other way around. They surpassed everything that we've done. They are the best college baseball program in the country. And I think it was Ross Dettlinger. You know, you talk about a shout-out to Scott Woodard, the AD at LSU. He tweeted this out earlier. Let me see if I can find it here. About LSU just kind of stacking up championships. Of course, there were no state national championships in 2020. But every year since 19, LSU has celebrated an NFL championship. They won the football national title in 19 with Joe Burrow. They win the men's outdoor track championship in 21. Women's basketball with Kim Mulkey wins in 23. Baseball in 23. Gymnastics in 24. And now baseball in 25. And one of the things about Scott Woodard that you have to actually tip your cap to is he is willing to go out and get high-profile coaches. He's willing to write the check. They go get Brian Kelly, right? Hired him away from Notre Dame. Maybe it hadn't worked out the way they expected, but it was a power move to go hire the coach from Notre Dame. It's unheard of. He goes out and hires Jay Johnson from Arizona, who had played for a national championship as a coach in 16, ironically losing to Coastal Carolina. He goes out and hires Kim Mulkey, a Louisiana girl, away from Baylor. Fortune favors the bold. And I would venture to say right now, there may not be an athletic director in the country doing a better job than Scott. How could you argue against it? It'd be one thing if they just stacked up championships in one sport. But man, that's five different sports. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it truly is. And so I think that when I go back to the Jay Johnson thing, and I've had some conversation with Jay, the thing about Jay that I respect is that, like, he is engaged to in every pitch, and he fights for his team. I think I guys told you when we played down there, when the Dillon Cup thing happened, right? When we had runners on in scoring position, a chance of really getting the ball game, and Jay Johnson goes out there. And I assume he was prepared to get ejected if necessary, because you're not supposed to come onto the field to play unless time has been called. But he was correct. It should have been a pitch clock violation against Dylan Cup. And he gets it. And Cup had been hitting the baseball well. Cup comes up there with a base hit, couple runs score. It's maybe a different dynamic. And what's interesting is when Jay wandered onto the field, somebody was like, oh my gosh, there's a guy on the field. He's probably drunk. And then somebody said, oh no, that's Jay. So he's certainly drunk, which is really funny. But nevertheless, Jay Johnson, two NAFL championships in three years. And they had the year last year when things weren't quite so great, right? They lose the regional. They got hot late. They might not have even made the tournament. They get hot late. They make a run at Hoover, play their way into a regional, end up losing to Wofford. North Carolina wins that regional. But it's pretty safe to say that LSU is in a good position, right? I had the opportunity Friday night to visit with Brian O'Connor for about 40 minutes. And incredibly impressed. And you can read about half of that conversation for free over at jeanspage.com. It's called The Conversation, Coach Brian O'Connor. Brian O'Connor gets it. And I think that's the thing, right? Like right now, everybody's like, well, you know, Becker decided to stay at Virginia. Okay, cool. He's not the only shortstop in the country. And to be honest with you, he's probably a third baseman playing shortstop. I don't know that he's quick twitch enough to make it as a shortstop long term. That's my feeling. That's not Brian O'Connor's opinion. Obviously, he started him last year at shortstop. But the thing that I would say after talking to Brian O'Connor, like he talked about roster composition and how important high school players are and how you want to get guys in, you want to take care of them, you want to develop them, get them ready to go to the draft at some point. But you know, you want to develop them and build relationships to keep them out of the portal. And you want to have a nucleus of players each and every year. And he made a comment too, and some people kind of use it as an excuse to kind of be critical of Chris Simonis. And some of the burden is Chris's. But some of it also too is the fact that we had several position players go in the portal this year. And you begin to kind of rake through the roster here, and you begin to realize that young nucleus of position players just doesn't exist at Mississippi State. You know, Nolan Stevens transfers out, Dylan Cobb transfers out, Landis Davila transfers out. You know, we can go on and on here. Now, we got the young arms back. You feel good about Foster. You feel good about McPherson. You feel good about Dane Burns. And those are guys that are all potential first and second rounders. And so you've got a young nucleus on the pitching side, but we don't on the position side. And he goes, you know, Steve, it may take 2 or 3 years for us to have that. And again, if you look at the loyalty that the Virginia players have shown to Brian O'Connor, not all of them. I mean, the fact that, you know, Becker's going back to Virginia, I kind of respect it, to be honest with you, rather than just going to the highest bidder, you know. He decides, you know what, a lot of my teammates are going to Mississippi State, but I'm going to go back. And then obviously there's some players, some Duke, that are going to Virginia. Could be an interesting dynamic there. But Brian O'Connor understands that we can't consistently be portal reliant. Now, this year we have to be, right, because we're trying to reconstruct the roster. And the fact that we've had some guys that turned down some big money to come play at Mississippi State have left for one reason or another. You know, and Nolan Stevens headed to Oklahoma. Dylan Cup headed to Dallas Baptist, which is nowhere near Georgia, you know. And I do hear that Wayne Cup is improving and doing much, much better, which I know many of you are concerned about that too. You know, Dylan's father was an accident where somebody left the road and struck him with a vehicle, and he's had tons of problems, but is on the mend. And even though Dylan is no longer a Diamond Dog, that we love that family, wish them the best. And I think Dylan's a guy that'll do well there. I think in that conference, Dylan Cup could be potentially be an all-conference guy. I think he just needed a career reset. But we don't have him. One could make the same argument about Steven Spillett and Ross Highfield, right? These are guys that had a couple years in our program. Well, now they're gone. You know, so you don't have the rising sophomore. You don't have the rising junior. You know, Lucas Buckner, now headed to Coastal Carolina. And really, it's kind of a no-brainer for him. I think in the Sun Belt, I think he can be a real dude there. You know, I don't know if he was ever going to be strong enough to be more than a Punch and Judy guy. And that's the thing you begin to think about, too, about our current roster composition. I'm a big Gat Sanders fan. But I can't have two guys with similar skill sets in that offense. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, so Gat's a guy that's going to work backside. He's a guy that can bunt a little bit. He can run a little bit. Got some clutch gene in him, too. But I can't have my shortstop with the same skill set. I need a shortstop, and as O'Connor said, it's going to hit 10, 15 home runs a year. You know what you're going to be able to do with Ace, and you start working through this first base thing. And I'm hearing that Blake Bevis from Ball State is actually going to come to school. Some people thought he may be a draft risk, but I'm told that the expectations for him to come to school. And then him and Stallman will kind of battle it out at first. And you start thinking about those bats and how this lineup can mash. Yesterday, I spoke with Kevin Maluski, formerly of Seton Hall. He is now your Bulldog catcher. And the numbers for him were outstanding. Now, defensively, we got some work to do. And I want to talk about that just a little bit, just because I think it's important that we kind of have some context. Now, Maluski was a sophomore this year and pretty much the everyday catcher for the Pirates. And it wasn't a great year for the Pirates, but he was the team leader in both home runs and in RBI. 16 jacks, 58 ribby. He hit .303, which is third highest among regulars. That's pretty good. Yeah, I think you feel pretty good about that. Now, defensively, everybody jumps out and they start talking about the stolen base numbers and not enough caught stealings. Well, some of that, too, is on the pitchers. And that's the thing that I think it's important for everybody to understand. There are a lot of things involved in a caught stealing. We got to be quick to the plate. Number one, we got to hold the guy close, right? You got to cut down the lead. You got to hold those guys responsible. You got to be quick to the plate. You got to have a good pop time. You got to have a throw on target, and you got to be able to get a tag down. There's a lot of moving pieces to that. And when you've got a young pitching staff, a lot of that maybe doesn't get taken care of. And that's one of those things that I think our fans should just, hey, let's trust the fact that Matt Kirby and those guys saw enough in him. But guys, 110 off the bat, that's like Hunter Hines type numbers, right? Ace Reese is a guy that does it significantly. So people want to know, like, who could potentially be another shortstop? Well, one of the guys that is in the mix is Dylan Grego out of Ball State. Also, you know, obviously a teammate of Blake Bevis, you know, and a guy that's done some interesting things, you know. And he was a third-team All-American this year. When you look at his numbers, he hit .376, which is a team high, played all 58 games, hit 14 jacks, 55 RBI. That'll work. You know, that'll absolutely work. He also ran the bases a little bit too, 15 of 20 in stolen bases. But what's interesting, you know, with him, you know, he's a guy, too, that has played defense at a pretty high level. And so you begin to work that aspect of it, and you begin to kind of ask yourself, we're taking another shortstop. Is Dylan Grego the way to go? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You know, we'll see. But that's a name to remember for sure. But this Henry Ford thing going to Tennessee, I don't know where this confidence among some in our fan base were. Did you think we're going to get everybody from Virginia? You know, Henry Ford going to Tennessee, if he stays there, that's significant for Tennessee. But I've been told throughout this process that he may sign with somebody for leverage. But he has a first-round grade from many teams. Expected to be one of the top 100 players drafted. You know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you never know what Tennessee's offered him. I don't know. But this is a guy that could get some significant coin here in a couple weeks. So I've never been emotionally invested in Henry Ford coming to Mississippi State. I just, from the very beginning, I know some other people were optimistic about it, but the reality of it is I just never have had a good feeling about it. Becker, somebody asked me just this, I guess yesterday, how do you feel about Becker? I said, good, not great. And then the next thing you know, the word's out that he may be returning. And Chip Brown at Texas, 247, had that first, and some other of these little Texas Twitter account, these clickbait bandits kind of put it out there, and I saw some people even referencing those accounts and did not reference Chip, and I guess maybe, you know, maybe that's on Chip for not writing an article. I don't know. But the reality of it is that we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine, and we're going to win a lot of baseball games next year. And so we still got some portal guys to work with. We've got to get a backup catcher. Probably got to get another middle infielder. And we got to get a couple of arms and then maybe a best available. And we'll see how things go from there. But this is going to be probably – it's already the biggest portal class in school history for baseball. Probably the biggest portal class of the Brian O'Connor era at Mississippi State. But these guys know how to coach. They know how to evaluate. They know how to develop guys. And so I think it's important for us to really just kind of trust the coaches here. You know, we want to have an all-star team. You see what LSU just did, right? You know, this year was basically a team of Jay Johnson's complete composition. A couple of years ago, he inherited a lot of players and then kind of supplemented. You go out and get Tommy White and Paul Skeens, right? Well, it makes a lot of sense. This is a completely different dynamic, and I think in many respects, anybody that had questions about Jay Johnson, I think he's answered them this year. You know, can they continue to perform and procure players at this level with the new rules, with the house settlement coming in? You know, that kind of remains to be seen. But, yeah, we'll have some baseball talk on the show until we get done with the portal, and then we'll get into fall baseball here, and it's pretty crazy to think about that. You know, just in a couple months, we'll be back on the diamond, getting ready to watch the new-look Diamond Dogs kind of get together. So, if you haven't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can order a signed copy of The Dude. All my sports titles are there. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and, of course, The Dude. When the Bottom Falls, the personal memoir really about a life of recovery and kind of what it took to get here and what it's taken to stay here is available there for you as well. Yeah, and come join us over at jeanspage.com. We'd love to have you. And running 50% off the annual subscription price. Of course, that'll get you all the way through football season, all the way through camp, all the way through signing day, portal recruiting, baseball, men's and women's basketball, all the way up through the official visits of next year. Yeah, so it's a great value. And again, 50% off. Be sure and take advantage of that. Hey, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Wednesday. And you never know what we're going to discuss then. I can promise you there'll be some more football. And probably some more baseball as well. We'll have a cool top 10 list for you as well. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.